Hello, everybody. We're here for Community In Depth on KDWA Radio, AM 1460 and FM 97.7. And today, I have a very special interview coming your way, something that we haven't really had here on KDWA Radio, whether it be with our in-depth interviews or just going in-depth into this actual business setup that this man that we're going to talk to in just moments has within his own backyard, really. His name is Matt Rubin. He owns Rubin Custom Sawmilling. It's just outside of Hastings near the Afton Apple Orchard area, and we'll let Matt kind of tell folks a little bit more about his business and whatnot here. And he's out at the farm. You might have just heard the chicken crowing too, Matty. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I can't wait to talk about what we have to offer.
Let's get into it, man. I mean, first of all, I want to ask you, because you and I, for everybody listening, longtime teammates of the Cottage Grove Coyotes. I even covered your games back in the day at Park when you were pitching and going up to Midway Stadium and all that stuff. Of course, Matt, a Park alum, former Wolfpack pitcher himself. But like I said, we played together with Cottage Grove. And, you know, every Sunday we'd get together. And back in the day, he'd come over from Winona and come home and whatever. And I didn't know that wood studies, Matt, were what you were getting into. I don't think you went to school to get into wood. How did this come about? Maybe tell folks about that first.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story, I guess. I was an exercise science major, which helps for lifting logs and lifting heavy objects around the sawmill. So yeah, basically our business, we're a family-owned one-man sawmill business. I get help from my wife with some, you know, marketing and lead stuff, but I run a portable sawmill. I cut wood from home, our home base, and then dry it in our state-of-the-art vacuum kiln, and then plane it, surface the wood so customers can see the grain, and sell slabs. So that's basically our main two things of the business is the portable milling and the selling of live edge wood products.
How did you go from you and I rolling bats and enjoying beverages in your parents' garage to making this a legitimate business at your house, Matt?
That story is kind of a funny story, just because I had no background besides, you know, a little bit of woodworking here and there. And when I got my property a few years ago, I really wanted to start a business. I actually thought about starting a chicken business and a Christmas tree business. And I thought, well, those are kind of a lot of upkeep, a lot of things to take care of. And then I saw this local sawmill on YouTube, and I thought, well, what the heck? That looks like a pretty fun thing to do, just cutting up wood. And then I realized how much the market is out there for people looking for this kind of stuff. So I actually did a nationwide search on Craigslist to find a sawmill that I was looking for. I found one out in Colorado, made a date with them to go pick it up, brought it home, and when I got home, I didn't have any logs. I didn't even own a chainsaw at the time, so I had this almost brand new $30,000 sawmill just sitting there, and I started looking around my yard. I'm like, okay, which tree can I cut down? Looks like it's dying, and that's kind of how the business started.
What was your first project, Matt, that you actually made and sold? What was that, and how proud of you were you of that piece once it was finished?
I guess it wasn't really a project. It was more so just a sale of a piece of wood. So I got a tree out of a backyard in Bloomington. It was a black walnut tree. It had fallen down in a storm. I went there, took it out, and then sawed it up, and then sold it to a St. Paul police officer, and he was my first sale. That was kind of the moment where I realized, okay, now I'm in business, and that was in the summer of 2018.
And you're still going strong. Obviously, like we were talking off the air, Matt was mentioning that, you know, March is one of his busiest months so far. And it's kind of crazy, Matt, because right now, as you and I talk, our world is going through this virus situation. And there are many businesses that have slowed down, if not shut their doors. But for you, like you were saying off the air, it's actually been pretty busy. Kind of talk about where you are at business-wise, while it seems like other businesses right now may be struggling a bit.
Well, I think I have a lot of advantages. I'm pretty versatile, so I can cut live edge lumber, I can cut dimensional lumber, I can go portable. So people are looking for locally sourced products, whether it be stuff that I attain on my own or perhaps even a tree that comes out of their own backyard. I can bring my sawmill to their location, saw it up for them, and they have hundreds of board feet of valuable lumber that can be theirs to use once it gets dried. So there's just so many different things you can do with wood, too. So Having the sawmill and the kiln has a pretty big advantage. There's a lot of guys out there that are cutting up wood, but they're not drying it. So my investment in that kiln has been the biggest thing, I think.
We're talking with Matt Rubin of Rubin Custom Sawmilling here just outside of Hastings. And Matt, you mentioned that kiln too, and I know just following your site on Facebook, Rubin Custom Sawmilling LLC, for folks that want to check it out on Facebook and you look at some of his awesome projects and things that he has for sale. But, you know, when you get into, you know, getting projects done, Matt, I mean, there are so many different things you can do. It's not just about, you know, making the wood look nice or whatever. I mean, like you were saying, you could just take a piece of wood, like one of those cool crotch pieces like you've had, and kind of make it look neat and then seal it up and make it shine. I mean, that to dresser drawers. I saw you put, you know, almost like some wood lap type of indoor, you know, wall boarding kind of stuff. I mean, talk about the multitude of things you can do after getting your kiln and your saw and your remote stuff all set up. What is all the stuff you can actually do now within your own backyard?
Yeah, just here at home. So we can saw logs up to 20 feet long at pretty much any thickness that you want. Most of the slabs that I cut are around 2-2.5 inches. They go through the kiln and we plane them down, but then there's dimensional lumber too. You know, it's tough to find dimensional black walnut, so that's another service that we do. We don't stock it, but it's actually a custom order. So if you want 3/4 inch, 8 inch wide, 10 foot long black walnut stock, we can have that out in 3 to 4 weeks from logs. So that, again, that's the advantage of the kiln that we have. So we're doing custom dimensional lumber, and then the live edge slabs, you know, there's so many different uses for them. You can do tabletops, coffee tables, bar tops, side tables, end tables, wall art, shelving. You know, there's just so many different uses. You can go online and kind of see what people are doing with live edge slabs, or you don't have to keep the live edge on there. You can always cut that off too, but we cut everything live edge and let the customer decide, you know, what they're going to do with it.
You're offering like all sorts of different things. I think that the one I looked at on Facebook not too long ago was, I think, like a bar top almost. I mean, kind of a cool little deal. I mean, it people can customize it any way they want to, can't they, Maddie? Tell folks a little bit about the customization process and the fact that you could pretty much order up anything you want and you're going to find a way to get it for them.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on the dimensions that they're looking for. But like I said, the uses are endless. You kind of have to, with the live edge slabs, you kind of have to work with what that slab is going to give you. Sometimes you're going to have to fill some holes with epoxy or put some butterflies to stabilize the wood. But our business really is that great where we can kind of do each of those steps, you know, depending on your skill level too. So if you just want to buy a kiln dried live edge slab and go with it on your own, you can do that. Or you can have us do the finished piece all the way to putting the finish on it for you and delivering it to your home.
You and I both, of course, played baseball, and like we said, even in your parents' garage, spinning bats. And you know, a lot of times you'd ask me, "Well, do we want ash? Do we want maple? You know, birch is a big thing now." I mean, even in bats, different kinds of wood brought you different feels and lightnesses, and the heavy bats and things like that. I mean, what are maybe the easier types of wood to work with for you, Matt? Maybe the toughest types, the strongest types? What are people asking most for? Get into some of that for folks that, hey, maybe they got a tree in their backyard that's ready to go and they want to call, you know, Rubin Custom Sawmilling to come grab it. What are some of those kinds of trees and wood you're looking to use, Matt?
Yeah, just to touch on, our biggest seller is black walnut. People love to look at black walnuts the most, I'd say. We usually carry 10 to 15 different species in stock, so I'll kind of ramble through those. We got black walnut, white oak, red oak, honey locust, elm, birch, hard maple, soft maple, mulberry, ash, cherry, mulberry, pine, and box elder. So there's just so many different great hardwoods right here in the state of Minnesota, and every one of them has great properties, different colors. So I guess the hardest one to work with would be more of the honey locust. It has really high density, but black walnut is definitely the number one seller, and it's a great wood to work with as well. It machines easily, so many different uses for it, really great beauty in that wood too. So
you get a lot of wood, I would assume, you know, you living in the country, you have a very nice access point to get some wood, but also you depend on customers or folks that know of your business, I would assume, to get some of the wood to make your products. How does that go, Matt, in just kind of solidifying getting some of the wood into your shop before even being able to do something with it?
Yeah, that's a good point. So a lot of my logs are urban salvage logs. Like, they're normally going to get chopped up into mulch or burned as firewood. So there's just so much potential and so much greater value to facade and make lumber out of it than doing those other two things. And, you know, there's certainly applications where that makes sense, but we've got some, you know, huge trees coming down around the cities that are not getting put to use. They're basically, you know, wasted into firewood or whatnot. And we're really trying to shift that and make people realize that that is potentially good lumber. So we work with a few different tree services. They're totally on board. They love our business. They think it's a good thing. We're just trying to get the word out there more for people to know that, hey, this is possible.
I always drive around during the springtime and see, you know, during floods and things like that, down at the Mississippi, there'll be just these huge things of driftwood, you know, that are just sitting on the the side of the river that might be starting to dry out. And I always think of you, seriously. If I'm like, man, I wonder if Matty could do something with that, or I wonder if I should I call Matt and see if he wants to pick this stuff up. Can you do things with driftwood, Matt? I know it's so weird to kind of think. I mean, it's been waterlogged, but then it dries out. I mean, is there actual ways you can make driftwood usable with what you do?
That is a funny question. I think about that too, you know, looking along the Mississippi River banks, or, you know, and seeing all these big logs down. I've thought about taking my boat out and dragging one out, you know, one of these days, but that might be a different adventure for a time when I have more time. But that certainly is a funny thing to do. There's people that, you know, go after sunken logs too, and I know that's a different market, but yeah, well, someday we'll get into river logging. That'd be a fun adventure. I'll get that one on YouTube.
That's a whole other show. We'll have to do a show on that one too. Once you scoop up a bunch of driftwood. No, the one thing we want to talk about too, Matt, because you do a lot of times have product, and you bring people out to the farm sometimes too, and you know, it's cool. I mean, you can actually observe some of the stuff that you do out there before you make the product for them. You're very hands on with people, letting them, like I said, kind of check out what it's all about. Tell folks about letting people kind of, now obviously not right at this second, but when we have the okay to come on out to farms and things like that again, you really want to get people out there. Talk about how it's a welcoming spot for people to kind of come check it out and see what you're actually doing for them.
Yeah, that really is a good point. I hold open sales on the weekends, and that's exactly what I want to do is get more awareness. You know, you don't have to come out here and buy anything. You want to meet me if you want to see how a log is milled, see what the entire process is. That's really fun to do. And then you can come out and talk about future projects, or if you have trees coming down, or if you have access to logs, you know, that's a good time to talk about what you could do with them. So we kind of have a fun family farm here. We've got some goats, we've got chickens, ducks, so there's a lot of fun things to do out here, just to come out and watch and see the process and check out the final product.
Now, people might want their custom stuff, but do you actually have prefabricated stuff that you've already made for when people do come out to the farm and maybe they just want to get a look at something, but then all of a sudden something that you've already made catches their eye and, hey, how much is that? Hey, how much is that? Hey, what would you take for that? Do you have some of those pieces if people come out to the farm and maybe you aren't ready to necessarily give them their finished product yet, but you might have some stuff, you know, around the barn or whatever it might be that you can sell to people just when they come out and check out the farm?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're expanding our operation a little bit in terms of our buildings. So we've kind of got to the point where we need more space to store dry wood, and then also a space to talk about exactly what you're saying, is that showing people actual finished products so that they can see the potential that they might have in something that they could do. So that's kind of coming up. We're going to be breaking ground in the spring. It's going to be a 20x48 new building that's going to be our slab showroom slash some of our finished examples. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great great customer experience once that's all done, so they can come out and check out what we have.
Let's say I'm a customer, Matt, right now, and I'm coming out there, and I got a couple of logs out of my property, and I know that you're the guy to do the job, and I'm thinking, well, what do I want to do with them, though? Well, I'm going to ask Matt, what does he like to do? If somebody comes up to you with a blank slate, that moldable piece of clay that is a brand new log for you, and they said, you know what, Matt Rubin, I'm going to let you decide what you want to make for me, and then I'm going to display it however else it might be, whatever it may be. What would you like a customer? I mean, what is that thing that you really like to make and feel very proud of once you're done with it that you give on your customers? What's maybe one or two of those things you really have fun with making?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that a lot where people have logs and they have no idea what they want to do with them, so they kind of say, well, what would you do? And so, you know, a lot of times it's just going to depend on the log. You really want to do what's best for what nature gave you. So if you have a massive log and it's really gnarly looking and it's got some interesting features to it, you're going to want to cut it into slabs, and you might want to make a kitchen table out of it, or a nice coffee table or a bar top. Whereas if it's a dead straight white oak or a black walnut or a cherry log, maybe you want to make some dimensional lumber and you want to build custom furniture or cabinets or whatever you want. So that's kind of where I start the conversation, is what is that log giving you, and we go from there.
That's where the conversation starts. But our conversation, Matt, is going to end here now. Can't believe it's already the end here. But what I want to let you do is kind of give you the final say here in the final couple moments, maybe to tell fans how to take a look at some of your wares, how to find you guys, a phone number maybe, how they can find the farm, things like that, so they can get involved with you and keep you busy as we have here throughout March.
Yeah, like you said, we're located right across from the Afton Apple Orchard. My number is 651-242-8747. You can check us out on Facebook at Rubin Custom Sawmill, or on Instagram, same tag. We're working on a website here that's going to be up in the next couple weeks, and hopefully that gives more people the chance to see what we're doing as well.
His name is Matt Rubin. Again, he is the owner of Rubin Custom Sawmilling here just outside of Hastings, across from Afton Apple, your full-service, what do you call it, Matt? Full-service sawmill, really, is what it is, isn't it?
You're pretty much right on. That's what we're aspiring to be. It's a lot of equipment to get to be a full-service sawmill. So right now we have the sawmill, the vacuum kiln, we've got a 25-inch planer, we've got, you know, table saw, jointer, stuff like that. A few more pieces to the puzzle, and we will be considered a full-service sawmill, and it's really going to be open to the public for what they want to make.
So. Well, go feed those chickens. How's that sound?
Chickens, goats, ducks, yeah. We got to feed the ducks.
That's Matt Rubin again, folks. You can find him if you go to Facebook. Go to Rubin, R-U-B-E-N, Custom Sawmilling LLC. You'll find all of his fun stuff right there. And we want to thank everybody for joining us for this in-depth interview with Matt Rubin of Rubin Custom Sawmilling. Hopefully you enjoyed it, found it informational. And again, don't be afraid to stop out to the farm. Give Matty a call. I'm sure him or Antonia and on all the girls, I'm sure they'll run out and keep you company. It'll be fun, folks. Be sure to give Matt a call and check him out on Facebook. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll talk to you soon.